Well, good morning. This morning we're going to begin a brand new series from the book of 2 Corinthians, and I'm calling it the B series. And today's lesson is Be Authentic, and then we'll be looking at future lessons, Be Persistent, Be Encouraged, Be Certain, Be Contagious, Be Generous, and Be Transformed. So those are the lessons in this series, and I look forward to going through 2 Corinthians with you. It's not a total study of the entire book. Primarily, we'll be looking at chapters 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, and 9, primarily. So as we talk about being authentic today, our nation is plunging deeper and deeper into spiritual darkness and uncertainty. You know, a number of years ago, there was a general consensus that the Bible is our guidebook for life, and pretty much people that didn't even believe in God necessarily still believe the Bible was a good book, it was a guide, and it was helpful for living. But many today have conceded that there is any such thing as absolute truth, and the Bible is no more than simply a book written by human beings. And we are free to fashion the God of our own liking and thinking. Now, as we think about being authentic and allowing the light of Christ to shine through us in this dark world, I want us to think about verse 6 as our theme verse for today's lesson. Paul says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. And he has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so God has revealed to us his light. And we are the recipients of that light. We are supposed to be the reflectors of that light. And so as the world gets darker and darker and darker, the greater the attraction for Jesus should be Christ, who is the light of the world. Isaiah the prophet wrote that when the Messiah comes, he says that the people living in darkness will have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light hath shined. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. And so as we think about being authentic Christians, how can we allow the light of Christ to shine through us to a dark world? Well, there are four ways I want us to talk about this morning. First of all, it's imperative that we remain positive in a negative world. Now, it's easy to lose heart in a world that is declining. You know, evidences of moral breakdown are seen everywhere in our world. Immorality is being promoted in ways that we couldn't even imagine 30, 40 years ago. We see this. Schools are pretty much encouraging, you know, instead of encouraging abstinence, they're encouraging safe sex. And that's not good for young kids. Pro-abortionists are simply, you know, murdering millions and millions of babies in our country. Internet porn is rampant. Political corruption everywhere you look. And it's so easy when you look at all of this to lose heart. It really is. I sometimes think about my grandchildren, the world they're going to have to grow up in. It's frightening to think about that, right? I mean, we can already see what's on the horizon. We can already see what Satan is up to. And it is definitely disheartening. But Paul says, no matter what, we do not lose heart. That's what he says in chapter 4, verse 1. He also says it in chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. And then you think about the world and the condition of our world. And then you think about the condition of some churches in America. And then you think about your personal problems, right? It's real easy to get discouraged. And as Christians, we must not let our circumstances get us down. No matter how bleak things may be, Paul says we do not lose heart. And so, it's imperative that we understand that we are saved not by law, but by grace. And our focus is not on developing, outward character, but inward character. Paul says, we do not lose heart. And Jesus warned that the world that we're living in is going to go downhill. Paul said, in the last days, men are going to go from bad to worse. And it's important that we remember, John tells us, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I think it's important that we remember that, right? That God in us is greater than the world around us. And Jesus predicted that we're going to have problems. We're going to have difficulties in life. It's just part of living in this world. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations. But be of good courage. I have overcome the world. You see, the Apostle Paul practiced what he wrote. You remember when he and Silas were arrested in Philippi and they were imprisoned? You see, they didn't act miserable or depressed, but rather they began to sing praises and they began to pray to God, and the prison was shaken. And eventually the jailer became a Christian. Why? Because they allowed the light of Christ to shine in that dark place. And that's what we're commanded to do, to let the light that he has given to us shine in this dark world. And if we're going to bring the light of Christ to this dark world, we cannot lose heart. We've got to believe that life is that light is always more powerful than darkness. Think about this. When you enter into a room and you flip on the light, what happens to the darkness? It goes away, right? Light chases away the darkness. And it's important, I think, that we see believers on the offense and not the defense. And so often, I think many people look at Christians as being on the defense. We're not on the defense. We're on the offense. Jesus says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Now, think about it. What are gates? Gates are a defensive weapon. The church is not behind gates. Satan is behind gates. The kingdom of Satan is behind gates, not the church. And why are they behind gates? Because the church is on the offense. And we need to see the church is on the offense. I'm tired of Christians looking at the church as we're on the defense. We're not on the defense. We're on the offense. And we need to understand that. Light chases away the darkness. And listen, no matter how troubling your circumstances become, you remember that your God is able to deliver you. And so you stay positive. Keep on believing that through Christ, you can do all things through him who strengthens you. It's important that we stay positive in a negative world. Not easy to do. It's not easy to do. But we need to do it. Number two, it's imperative that we demonstrate integrity in a deceitful world. Now, the Bible teaches that Satan is a deceiver, that he's crafty, that he is one who disguises himself as an angel of light. And so it's no surprise if this world is characterized and described in sinful, deceitful ways. A number of years ago, not too long ago, Notre Dame hired a coach. And not long after they hired him, they had to fire him because he had lied on his resume. And think about this. You think about the people in our world. People lie to get ahead. We live in a culture that has trouble telling the truth. The political world is full of deception, right? We hear it all the time. We see it all the time. Many businesses operate with deceptive tactics, all in order to make a sale. But if the light of Christ is going to shine through us, it is imperative that we renounce the secret and shameful ways. That we not distort the word of God. That we set forth the word of God plainly. It's imperative that we do so. Back in 1929, federal agent Elliot Ness made about $28,000 a year. Now, that's a lot of money back in those days, right? Go back to 1928-29, that's a lot of money, $28,000. And he had received an envelope with $2,000 in it from Al Capone. And Al Capone says, you can count on that every week if you just back off. Well, the next day, Ness and his men had a a conference, and basically he called out Al Capone, and the news read the next day that Ness and his friends are the Untouchables, and that's how they became known as the Untouchables. And so the Bible encourages us to be people of integrity, that we're to be untouchable, blameless, upright, pure in heart, not even a hint of evil. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 12, he says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. You see, if you want to let your light shine, here are some very positive ways that we can do that. When others are late for work, you show up on time. When others take breaks longer than they're allotted, you go back to work. When others coast, you put in a hard day's work. When others are late paying their bills, you pay your bills on time. When everyone else is padding their expense account, you be above reproach. When others are being spiteful, you be loving. When others water down the gospel, you stand firm. When others in the class are cheating, you be honest. You see, people will notice your integrity, and they will be drawn to your light, but not everyone. Because Paul says in verses 3 and 4, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, and do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I love the imagery, and I don't know if you've paid attention to that or not, but the imagery that Paul is using here, he's going back to Genesis when God said, let there be light. In a similar way, when the gospel is preached and people obey, it's the light, right? It's the light of the gospel. And so Satan, Paul says, has blinded the minds of people that they cannot see. Now, some people resent the light, right? Not everyone's happy with the light. You turn on the light, and if you're sleeping, it hurts your eyes, right? If you're not fully dressed, you're embarrassed. And think about it. All the works of darkness take place at night. Why don't people riot in the daytime? Why is it they riot at night? Because everybody wants to riot under the cloak of darkness. That's what people do, right? And so our job is to be light and to expose. And that's the job that God has given to his church. It's important that we understand this. I think about what Jesus said in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, verse 19, a verse you're probably familiar with. In chapter 3, verse 19, he says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But our task is to live lives of integrity and let the light of Jesus shine through us. That's our task. But number three today, if we're going to let the light of Christ shine through us, then we need to practice servanthood in a self-serving world. And that's what he points out in verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, notice, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. And so, I don't need to tell you that our world is a self-serving world. You know that. The world is looking out for number one. But if you want to let the light of Jesus shine through you, then like him, we need to take upon us the form of a servant. We need to serve. You see, we need, and this is important, because when we get out there and we serve in the way that God has called us to serve, it's a way of shining the light in a dark world. The world will take note. The world will notice that. That's why service is so important. It's why Jesus spent so much of his ministry trying to teach them to be servants. He says, you know, the Gentiles want the Lord over you, but it's not going to be that way among you. But he that wants to be great needs to become a servant. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, did not think it robbery to be made equal with God, but made himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And you think in John 13, the last lesson that Jesus taught his disciples was on service. He took a towel, he girded himself, he took a basin of water, and he began to stoop, and he washed all the disciples' feet. And he says, I've given you an example that you should do as I've done unto you. And I think one of the things that we've done in the church and we've got to quit doing is we're promoting leadership, leadership, leadership. Jesus didn't promote leadership. There's not a verse in the New Testament that says, be a leader. But there are hundreds that encourage us to be servants because that's what we are. Jesus wants servant leaders. Those are the kind of leaders that he wants and needs in the church today. People who are willing to stoop and do whatever it takes. And that's why service projects are so important, because the world does take note. They really do. Because that's not the way of the world. It's opposite of the world. The world is looking out for themselves, but that's not us. We're looking to serve. And I believe that if we will just serve the way Jesus called us to, we will draw more and more people to the light. Such an important lesson. But then number four, and lastly today, we're going to let the light of Christ shine through us. It's important that we be transparent in a phony world. And Paul says in verse 7, but if we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, there are a lot of phonies in our world. And people are pretenders. And you even have Christians who are pretenders. And we call those people hypocrites, right? Because a hypocrite is an actor. And that's what the Greek word literally means. It's an actor. And so you have many Christians who are simply acting. They're putting on a show, but they're not genuine. They're not real. And here's the thing. The world can pick up on that. You don't think that they can, but they can. They can see right through it. They know the real when they see it. And they know the phony when they see it. And we can try to disguise, but the world will be able to pick up on that. Being authentic is one of the best ways to let the light of Christ shine through you. We're all Christians, but none of us are perfect Christians. And I think we need to let the world know that. Right? There needs to be a balance in our life between integrity and transparency. And so I'm not ashamed to let the world know I don't have it all together yet. I still have plenty of room in my life to grow and mature and become more like Jesus. I'm not there yet. And I'm not ashamed to let the world know that. And so we just have to be honest. We have to be real. Because if we just put on a fake that everything's okay when it's not, the world can see through that. And so we cannot be pretenders. We need to be real. People are attracted to people who are real, but they are repelled from people who are fake. And Paul says this treasure has been given to us in these clay jars. And so Paul is wanting us to impact the world with the gospel. That's the whole reason for this series, is really to help us get ready to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. That's going to be the emphasis of this particular series. The mission that Jesus gave us to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, is our task. And so this morning, if we're going to be authentic, it's important that we be positive in a negative world. That we demonstrate integrity in a deceptive world. That we practice servanthood in a self-serving world. And that we be transparent in a phony world. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to let your light shine in these ways. There are other ways, but these are just four simple ways drawn out of this text that we can allow the light of Christ to shine through us to a dark world. And for those of you who don't know Jesus Christ this morning, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 3, verse 23, and says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 6, 23, he says, the wages of sin is death. The consequences of sin is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death, eternal death, separation from God. But the good news is, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So Jesus Christ came into the world and he paid the debt of sin that you and I could not afford to pay. Because if we paid it, it would cost us our eternal soul. And so Jesus came, he died, he paid the debt of sin. And God says, I am satisfied with the death of my son as a payment for the sin of the world. And so for every person who comes to Jesus and acknowledges that he's Lord and Savior, and receives him as Lord and Savior by believing in him, repenting of your sins, being buried with him in the waters of baptism. It's at that moment that God cleanses you of all your sins, accepts you into his family. But if you reject Jesus, then you're going to have to pay the debt of your sin yourself. And the Bible says that will cost you your eternal soul. And so this morning we're going to give you an opportunity. If you've never responded to the gospel of Jesus this morning, you have an opportunity to do that. Whatever your need is, make it known as we stand and sing.